Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome to our Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation, and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, or about social justice. Today, my visitor is Luisa Mary Falanitule. Luisa, a warm welcome to our radio program.
Thank you.
Luisa is Nguyen and is a community social worker and Pacific liaison for Mercy Hospice Auckland. Here, I would like to remind our listeners a little bit about the history of Mercy Hospice Auckland. When the Sisters of Mercy were founded in Ireland in 1831, the foundress, Catherine McCauley, had a commitment towards the care for the dying. In this tradition of caring for the dying, Mother Agnes and Mother Gonzaga started the first Hospice for the Dying in 1952 at the Mater Hospital in Epsom. That was real pioneer work at that time. The Hospice for the Dying was set up in Mountain Road in Epsom, but due to pressure from Auckland Council at that time and local residents who didn't want to have a hospice in their neighbourhood, the hospice was renamed Mary Agnes Ward. And in addition to caring for the dying, the sisters then offered also care for the aged. In 2006, the current Mercy Hospice Auckland moved from the Mountain Road site to Ponsonby at the corner of College Hill and New Street. The Mercy Hospice provides specialist palliative care and hospice services for those facing life-limiting illnesses. Luisa belongs to the family support team, and she works mainly with patients from the Pacific Islands and with their families and communities. And when you think about the history of Mercy Hospice Auckland, we think about a hospice as a place for the dying, but for dying in dignity. And yet your focus is on families and communities. Luisa, what exactly is your work at Mercy Hospice Auckland?
I have two roles at Mercy Hospice Auckland. I'm a social worker, but also a Pacific liaison worker. So my work in social work is about providing emotional support and to develop care plans and advocacy for the patient around Housing New Zealand and work and income and issues around non-residents. For my liaison role, that's I provide cultural support to our Pacific families.
Can you say something about cultural support? What does that mean?
Well, I'll give the example of a Nguyen family, and if I see a Nguyen family and English is their second language, I'm able to actually speak in my own language in terms of Nguyen. And also there's an immediate connection in terms of if they know that I'm Nguyen, we usually start the conversation with, which village do you come from? And who's your father? And so that instant connection becomes straight away.
So you build up a relationship.
Exactly. And I think by being a Nguyen person and going into other Pacific families like Samoan or Tongan and so forth, I do have that an advantage, really, because there'll be other things like they'll say, oh, so-and-so, my friend is Nguyen. And, you know, a conversation becomes, it develops into a trust.
You're not a stranger anymore.
No, you're quite right.
And it's like the big Pacific family. You belong to that big Pacific family.
It's very true. It's very true. Like Niue and Tonga and Samoa, like very close into the islands and so forth. So, yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
And I understand that your background is in public health.
Yes, I have a background in public health. And but before then I did my social work training in the 80s, and I learnt a lot about community development and working with population groups and public health. And it's not about working with individuals, it's about working with, if you see that I work with a patient, I also work with their extended family and their you know, close family members, but I also work with to find out about their cultural supports and community supports. I work with their communities, which may be a minister.
So you work way beyond the normal nurse, for example, who only takes care of the medical issues, usually, traditionally. But you work beyond that. You work with the family and the whole surrounding and see what other problems occur if somebody is ill.
Yes, yes, I do. But it's what public health has given me an experience to look at the bigger picture in terms of, you know, my work is that I meet one-to-one with families, but I also have an understanding of sort of the wider issues around health, like poverty and financial hardship in terms of a population group. Mm-hmm. And also community and cultural ties provide a source of great comfort as patients and families prepare for death. And also it's important to raise issues around cross-culture end-of-life practices and to look at strategies for cultural effective end-of-life care. So it's really about understanding someone's cultural values, and it's important to do that because once you know someone's background and traditional values, this may affect that end-of-life care. And by doing so, it provides and helps you build a comprehensive and compassionate palliative care, end-of-life care. So it's important for people to know that. Mm-hmm. Mm.
For those of you who've just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercer Spirituality Center in Ipsum. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or send me an email at muffintalk840@gmail.com. My visitor today is Luisa Falanitule. She is a community social worker and Pacific liaison person for Mercy Hospice Auckland. Luisa told us about her work in the family support team and her specific role with the Pacific people. Mm-hmm. And Luisa, do you work on your own or do you work in a team?
We have a team. There's three of us, Marie Go and Maria Colley, and we work as a team. So, and it's quite good to work as a team because, of course, you can, you know, discuss problems and situations and have a debrief. So it's very good for support, share our resources and information. Yeah, we work in the community and also in the inpatient unit at Mercy Hospice Auckland. So, yeah, there are two areas. I mainly work in the community.
And when you visit people outside, well, if you go and visit family members in their houses, are you going with somebody else?
No, sometimes I do a joint visit with the nurses, which is really helpful. And it means that the family see that we work as a team.
Yes.
I also work with the Māori, my Māori colleague, Kingi, who is very good in terms of actually, again, making that connection with Māori families. But I think it's important that we are seen as working as a team for families.
I think it's a bit of a challenge. On the one hand side, it's easier to connect to people if you're on your own. On the other hand, you're taken more seriously if you have somebody else, or also it's a protection for you and for the families.
Yes, yes. But also it's actually like you don't want to really go on, like, you know, have more than one people going in to see a family. You'd like to have that sort of intimate relationship and to build up that trust. So sometimes it has its merits and other times not so well. But I think we can actually come to a decision that, you know, and be more sensitive. We realise which families we can do that.
Mm. And, when I think of Pacific families, usually I think of families and communities, and they are very strong together and take care of each other. I wouldn't expect to have that need of somebody who comes and supports the families, because I always think of the families being already a community. So especially when a member gets sick, or if they lose a loved one, the tendency is to think, oh, they are taken care of.
Yes.
And how do they know about your services, that you could help them to do that maybe better, or do it in a different way, or just to support them to be there?
Right. In terms of, there are two things here. In terms of the referrals that come through to our services and for social work input, they're referred through palliative care team or oncology at Auckland City Hospital, and also through referrals from the GP. The families know that I work there through the community palliative nurses that go in, which is very good, and they say that, you know, we have a new Anne social worker, and if you'd like to see her, that would be, you know, let me know. So that's a good way of actually getting out those that information. And Mercy Hospice Auckland is about providing support for families to look after their loved ones at home. Mm-hmm. So it's actually going in to actually enhance that care. It's not going in to take control, but it's going in to support families to care for their loved ones. So I think they see it as a great help.
I think that when I interviewed Jane Huggard last year about Mercy Hospice Auckland, she was mentioning that most of the patients actually don't stay at Mercy Hospice.
No.
They are in their families.
Exactly, exactly. So the majority of people, and I think that's quite normal, if we have a loved one who's sick, we would want them to be around family, and of course they would too. But it's true, most of our patients are in the community. So to have this free service going in, that means that people can stay in their own environments.
So since when does this exist, this special care for Pacific people?
Well, I've actually, it's been going on nearly four years now that I've been at Mercy Hospice. So what we've done to connect more of Pacific families is developed cultural appropriate resources that are also translated into the four groups of Samoan, Tongan, Niuean and Cook Island. And when I go on, and this is part of my cultural liaison role, is that I would try and meet all Pacific families that come onto our books. And so I'd go out and I'd take the resource as a part of a gift, actually, and just to let them know that, you know, if they wanted a social worker, a Pacific social worker, that I work there. And the resources actually tell them about the services we offer.
You brought some of these resources with you. Mm. These are A5 booklets.
Yes.
And so they are in different languages.
Yes.
And you have a few cards that are in that booklet. And on the card is it a bowl?
Yes, it is. Like, we did specific ethnic groups. So we actually, the way we tell which is that the kava bowl is for Samoa, the tapa cloth is for Tongan, the Niuean is for fans, Pacific fans, and the Siali is for Cook Island.
Ah, okay. So people who don't know the language, they would recognize it by the picture that
you
chose.
Yes, by the pictures. And also it's translated. Everything about the service is translated into those four different languages. And we have a postcard, the postcard is actually really lovely. The postcard is written by families of the loved ones. Mm-hmm. By their children or a family member, and it's written by that family member, and it talks about how they cared for their family, for their loved ones.
Yeah. And does the picture relate to the story?
The picture, yes, it does. It does. So when you see the actual resource and you open it up, you'll see a postcard, and if it's a Samoan one, that'll be our Samoan woman that we have there. And for the Cook Island, we have a Cook Island person. For the Tongan, we have a Tongan person. And the Niueans, we have a Niuean person. So these people were kindly, their families had kindly given their
testimony,
agreement,
yeah,
that they could be a part of this and also to be a part of the resource. So these are people using their own words about how they look after their loved ones, how we've helped out a little, you know, how Mercy has helped out and looking after them. So they're very intimate stories, and I find it really, you know, just acknowledging their support and helping get the messages out so Pacific people can understand more about what hospice is.
I understand that you will participate in the annual Pacifica Festival in Auckland, which will be held on the 14th and 15th of March this year in Western Spring Park. Mm-hmm. And the Pacifica Festival is supposed to be the biggest celebration of Pacific Island culture and heritage in the world.
Yes, that's right.
And in what way will you be present?
Well, at the moment, this year, we're lucky we have all the Auckland, hospices of Auckland, collaborating together. We've developed specific resources that are translated into the languages. We've developed a lovely ukulele group, which is led by Te Moko, who's one of the Mercy Hospice staff. And other hospices can actually come in and be part of that performance. And we have a stall at Pacifica, two stalls. So we're actually promoting and showcasing the work that hospice does throughout Auckland.
So it's not just promotion, it's not just some leaflets or whatever, but you really do something, you show something.
Yes, we do.
It's like a Mercy Hospice Village?
It is. That's very true, because the villages they're described as that in Pacifica, Niue Village and Samoa Village and so forth. What we did last year, which was really successful, is it's an interactive activity, and it's a garland of remembrance. So the people will come in and they'll be encouraged to make these flowers, and then on the leaves they leave a message for their loved ones. So they begin to start talking, to have conversations about their loved ones and so forth, which is actually the beauty of being at Pacifica, because people will come up to you and look at the hospice sign and they'll go, my mother was looked after by hospice, or my uncle was looked after by hospice. So that's a great connection in terms of the work that hospice does. And it certainly, you know, opens it up to the community. So we have our ukulele band.
Yeah.
And we have songs like Yellow Bird and You Are My Sunshine, and songs that will enable, you know, the audience to...
Some positive songs.
Yeah, some really nice positive songs. And then we have the Remembrance Garland, which we took to a conference, which was quite enormous, actually, huge. Otherwise, families would want to take their own home, their flower home. And
what material are these flowers?
They're actually made out of flowers.
Oh, flowers.
They're made out of different coloured flowers, sort of paper and fabric. So you actually build a lovely little flower, you make a flower, and in the middle there's a bead. So we have lots of these things that they can choose to make their flower with. So, and we have our resources, of course, and contact numbers and so forth.
Mm. Yeah, that would be nice. I remember I was at the Pacifica Festival, I think, 2 years ago, and it was interesting to walk from village to village. It was like hopping from one island to the next island.
Exactly.
So then in future we'll have the Mercy Hospice Village.
Exactly.
We'll have to come and see what you're... And this will be multicultural from different Polynesian islands. Is that right?
It is. Yeah, it is. It is. We've been there for 3 years. This is our third year. Mm-hmm. So the first year we started off just with two hospices.
Two hospices? What different hospices are they?
Well, there's the first one we had West Auckland Hospice, and then the second year we had North Shore, South Auckland, West Auckland and Mercy Auckland and Mercy Hospice Auckland. This year we have added Hibiscus and Warkworth.
Oh, so it's like a village of many different hospices of
exactly.
Auckland, of the Auckland area, of the wider area.
Exactly.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the idea to go to the Pacifica Festival? Because when you think of the festival, you think of celebration and food. And what made you think of we come and go, we do promote at the festival?
Again, that was my work with public health, because we'd always target the, because my role again was to work with Pacific communities, and that's to target big events that you would have a lot of Pacific Island people there. So it was about taking the message out to Pacific families and Pacific communities. And Mercy Hospice, we're in Ponsonby, the festival's in Western Springs. So it's our local event, and that's a good way to promote it. We, yes, so...
You were just looking, where are the Pacific people? Where can we reach them? And what other ways did you try to reach those who didn't know about the hospice and about the Pacific approach?
We had Pacific Island focus groups. We had a Niuean one and a Tongan one. And out of those Pacific Island groups, what we wanted to find out was really what best works for them in terms of hospice and how best that we can actually tailor our services for them. So it was about getting information from our Pacific families about what would work for them. And they said resources would help. Translated resources into our own languages would be really helpful.
And I think that the word of mouth will be very important, because much of the information is given out from one person to another. And like what you said in the booklet with the resources, where a person's testimonies are on these cards. And that's something that I think is very appropriate and very attractive to get people interested.
Yes, it's very true.
It.
I mean, my mother belongs to a Niuean weaving group, and one of the members in that weaving group, one of her family came to hospice. And she would talk about her experience to her weaving group.
Yeah.
Lovely. It was just lovely. So, like you say, word of mouth gets the information out there.
And you have to be bilingual, because I saw also in your booklets you have Samoan English or Tokelauan English, because for different generations, some if you want to reach the whole family, there might be some younger people who are not so familiar in reading the language their parents speak.
That's very true. And that brings me to a point of, like, people who would be their main caregiver for their loved ones would be, you know, a family member that's able to actually speak English as well as their second language, as well as their native tongue.
And so you're a Niuean, and so you're from Polynesia, and we've talked about Polynesian languages, but on the same hand, you also say that you are the liaison person for the Pacifica.
Yes.
Pacifica is also Melanesia.
Yes.
Do you also have Melanesian materials or Melanesian co-workers?
No, I mean, unfortunately not. I'm the only Pacific Island person at Mercy Hospice Auckland, and there's another person, David, at West Auckland Hospice. And I think that's, you know, that needs to be something to highlight, is that there are not many Pacific people who work in palliative care. So it's about getting the biggest hit out of your projects in terms of reaching out to a lot of Pacific communities. So we've actually just looked at the four main groups in New Zealand, which is Tongan, Samoan, Niuean and Cook Island. And we've, so that's why we've just focused on that.
So it's just the start, and then Melanesia comes later.
Yes, in saying that, I mean, we do have, you know, occasionally have people who come from, who are Fijian, Fijian or Fijian Indian, or from, Tokelau, you know, but these are just concentrating on those more, just those major groups in Auckland. And yes, I'd really like to extend it out to Polynesian and Melanesia.
So that's your goal then, also with the Pacifica Festival and with your material, to extend it, to spread the word of mouth.
It is, it is. Myself and Marie developed poster presentations about community engagement and also about the Pacifica story about going to the festival. And we've taken this to, I've taken it to Melbourne. Marie's taken the posters to Hawaii. And hopefully, you know, we can take it out to other places as well, other Pacific Islands, to say, this is a New Zealand perspective of working in palliative care. And what are their perspectives about it? So it's starting those conversations. Yeah.
Thank you. Wish you all the best for promoting this really, really good work of Mercy Hospice Auckland. And all the best. And many visitors have good weather, Pacific weather, for your for the celebration. And thank you very much. And to our listeners, what is coming up at our Mercy Spirituality Center? Well, Friday, Saturday, 6th and 7th of March, Margaret Bowater will facilitate an introduction on dream work. This will be a repeat from last year's workshop, and if you would like to know more about Margaret's approach, please listen to the interview that I recorded with her last year. It is still available at www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk. Just click on the archive button and you will see it and can download it from there. On Thursday, 12th of March, we'll have a very special event. Rabbi Brent Gutmann and Father John Dunn will go back to our Christian roots when they inform us about the Jewish Passover, the Seder meal that Jesus was sharing with his disciples. This will take place on Thursday, 12th of March from 7 to 9 p.m. at our Mercy Spirituality Center. And on Saturday, 14th of March, Jenny Johnson will facilitate an introduction to Soul Collage. Soul Collage is an intuitive, creative art process for self-discovery and transformation. For all our events at the center, please register with us at 09 for Auckland 638-6238. You can also register through our website, www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. For any further questions on these events or feedback on our Muffin Talks, please send me an email at muffintalk840@gmail.com. And I wish you all a good Friday and a blessed week ahead. And I hope you tune in again on Fridays, 8:40 a.m. to hear Muffin Talk.
Thank you.
Thank you, Louisa. We welcome those